If you work with your hands, they don't care how you feel. You're sore, you're tired, and if the tool quits on you, you don't get to. That's the American way. And racing in Indianapolis, that's an American original. And so is Quality Supply and Tool. They're selling what works. They supply men and women who build this nation every day, not just on race day. So yeah, engines go wide open once a year, but if you're like us, you're wide open all the time. Next time you need supplies for a job, go to Quality Supply and Tool. Along with racing in Indianapolis, American originals.
Only the best run here at the Indianapolis 500.
Mario, who do you feel you'll have to beat in this year's race?
People like A.J. Foyt and Bobby Unser, for instance.
Stand by for the checkered flag.
Absolutely incredible. Danny Sullivan spun in front of Mario Andretti.
A.J. has done it. He has won his fourth Indianapolis 500.
Beyond the Bricks with Jake Query and Mike Thompson. Brought to you by Quality Supply and Tool. Think outside the box. Store. On 93.5 and 107.5, The Fan.
Inside the Hensley Legal Group Race Command Center, it happens. Hire Hensley. Welcome to Beyond the Bricks tonight. My name is Mike Thompson, and tonight's a little bit of a different show than we've ever done. Tonight, we have a special situation. For the first time since we started Beyond the Bricks 6 years ago, Jake is not on the show tonight. So we gave Jake the night off. So that's a kind of a nice thing for Jake. He gets, you know, he gets very busy during the month of May, and he's got a number of important responsibilities. So Landon Coons, our erstwhile producer who does all kinds of important things like record all the audio for me, and he puts up the podcast. He joins us tonight in the Hensley Legal Group Race Command Center. Welcome to the show tonight, Landon.
Mike, I'm not going to lie, man. This is an honor to be on this show. You know, my dad and I would always listen to this show and along with Trackside for years after spending a day out of the track. And to finally be a part of this show and working behind the scenes and kind of stepping up into the batter's box, not really replacing Jake for tonight, but just trying to contribute onto this means so much more than you could ever imagine.
Well, it's kind of fun to have you because people don't understand you have a really important responsibility. I mean, we get a lot of, you've seen it on X and other different forms of social media. We've had people ask, you know, is this going to be podcasted? Where can I find it? And you're the guy responsible for that. So tell everybody real quick what those responsibilities are, Landon.
Yeah, absolutely. So Mike will usually send us the rundown. He will send me the clips for everything that we need to play. And then once, you know, after the radio show airs, I will be the guy to post it online so you can get it whatever you need on your podcast forms, whether that be Apple, Spotify, whatever it may be. I am the one that gives you access to everything that you'll need to hear in the coming days.
So Landon's kind of like our crew chief on the show. So it's important to bring him on the show. And you know, look, you know, when Jake and I are on the show together, I talk a lot. So there's really not enough time to get Landon on the show when I'm on the show, usually, because I talk a lot. But I thought it'd be a nice thing tonight to bring Landon on the show. So welcome to the show, Landon.
Well, thank you, Mike. I truly, truly appreciate this.
And tonight we're going to start with a man who needs no introduction, but I'm going to give him one anyway. Three-time Indianapolis 500 winner and the 1980 National Driving Champion, Mr. Johnny Rutherford joins us. Johnny, great to have you on the show.
Well, thank you. It's good to be there, for sure.
We really appreciate you taking the time out to talk with us. And we're going to talk in a few minutes about an exciting auction you're involved with. But first, we've got a couple anniversaries. We like to talk about anniversaries on Beyond the Bricks here. So we're going to start out with a couple anniversaries. And the first one I know you probably don't really want to remember too much, which is it's the 60th anniversary this year of your big crash at Eldora that you had. Left you with both arms broken. You ended up missing the 1966 500. But I've never had the chance to ask you, did that crash change the way you approach racing or your driving style in any way?
I don't think so. You know, an accident is an accident. We're just sad it's an accident. But, yeah, it was one of those things that happened. And it did. And you have to accept it. And the fact that you're still breathing and alive and everything. People say, well, they ask me, are you through racing? I said, oh, no, I can't wait to get back in a race car.
Now, Johnny, 10 years later, in 1976, this year it's the 50th anniversary of your second 500 win. You had won in 1974. But in 76, we had the unusual situation of you becoming the first driver who ever walked into victory lane as you won the rain-shortened race that year. I've always wanted to ask you, where were you when they told you, you know, you're the winner and you learned that you had won the race?
Well, kind of figured that. You know, you know what happens. It takes... it takes a minimum of 3 hours to get the Indianapolis Motor Speedway ready after you lose the track to the rain. So anyway, you kind of put two and two together and figure it out. And I thought, well, there's no way, unless they put up some lights real quick, we're going to be able to finish this thing. And anyway, yeah, the fact that they had let it run for 102, if they had gone just 100, it would not have been over. They would have had to run it. And they couldn't run it the next day. You know, all the fans had to leave and get home. So anyway, that was one that Mother Nature and the Speedway gave to me.
That's right. Tony Canano always says that the track chooses who's going to win. It had to have been very special to be chosen in that way that year in 1976.
It was, very much so.
So here's how it sounded on ABC's tape delayed broadcast in 1976 of Johnny Rutherford, our special guest tonight, becoming a two-time winner of the Indianapolis 500.
This announcement for being escorted by the press, by the photographers, headed towards Victory Lane with his wife, Betty. What a strange, bizarre finish to the 1976 Indianapolis 500. We'll meet him in Victory Lane in a minute.
That was a special day, JR, but one of my favorite victories you ever had, I was actually at this race. 10 years later, you took a victory in the Michigan 500 in 1986 on a really rainy, blustery, windy day. How much did winning another 500 that late in your career for Alex Morales' team, how much did that mean to you?
Well, anytime you can win a 500-mile race, whether it's 102 laps or 200 laps, then you take it. Because that's the way it was. And anyway, it was, you know, you see many different things happen in auto racing. And the fact that I won the shortest 500-mile race at Indy was good. So, yeah, I'll take it any way I can get it.
That's right. Now, here's how it sounded when you took the checkered flag on that blustery, rainy day that I was pretty soaked in the infield at the Michigan International Speedway in the Irish Hills.
Rutherford slows only slightly. He's not letting any grass grow today. Betty Rutherford cheers him on. Here comes Johnny Rutherford. The checkered flag is out, and Johnny Rutherford has won the Michigan 500. Starts in second.
The old fox, they just couldn't catch him, Paul. He did a good job of this.
Now, one of the reasons we wanted to have you on tonight, Johnny, is to talk about an exciting auction you're doing with Heritage Auctions in your home state of Texas next month. Fans have the opportunity to buy and bid on your race-worn helmets, uniforms, buy your trophies. First of all, kind of what made you decide to put up these, you know, these personal treasures for sale?
Well, I've had them for a long time, and people don't get to see them here in my house. I don't have a parade run through and let them see the trophies and things. But I decided it was time. You know, I'm 88 years old, and it's time that I let somebody else, if they want to enjoy those trophies, to have them.
Now, some of the exciting items up for sale include a couple of your Baby Borg Warner trophies that you got for winning the 500, as well as the helmet that you wore driving the Pennzoil Chaparral to victory in 1980. Now, the Chaparral, as we all know, was an amazing car. And, Johnny, that might be the only time in 500 history that we knew who was going to win the race going into the race. As long as that car didn't break, you guys were going to win that race. You were in a class by yourself.
Are you talking about the Chaparral?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
It was a great race car, and I was fortunate during my career to have some of the great race cars. The McLaren M16 was... we set a lot of records and won a lot of races with that car. And, of course, the Chaparral was such a different type of race car with the ground effects. It made it something special. So I was very fortunate, and happy to be able to drive it at the right time.
So here's how it sounded on the Speedway Radio Network when you crossed the checkered flag in 1980 driving that beautiful Pennzoil Chaparral.
Johnny Rutherford began to raise his hands off of the steering wheel, saluting the fans here on the last lap. He is about a third of a lap away from victory, Doug.
And here he drops down into turn number three, slowing up maybe just a little bit, it seems, into the short chute. Darrell, take him home.
Great round of applause, a waving to him. And now, ladies and gentlemen, here they call a checkered flag for the winner of the world's greatest auto race, the voice of the 500, Paul Payne.
Johnny, this auction also includes the trophy you won winning that qualifying race at Daytona in NASCAR in 1963. But one of the things I like about this auction is there's really kind of something for everyone, isn't there? Because there's not only the helmets and the trophies and things like that, but there's also some of your race-worn jackets and some of the accessory prizes you won. It's really kind of something for everybody in this auction that's coming up.
It is for sure, and I'm glad that we've got it at the right time, just prior to the great Indianapolis 500, and it's good to have won these things. But I'm happy to share that feeling with other people if they choose, and I'm glad that we're having this auction and going to put these things out there.
So you can learn more about the auction. It's being conducted by Heritage Auctions in Dallas, Texas. Click on their upcoming auctions at ha.com. Scroll down to the Auto Racing Sports Showcase on June 6th, and then you can be a part of this auction. Johnny, we really want to thank you for joining us on Beyond the Bricks to talk about your career and talk about this upcoming auction. We're always thrilled to have you on the show.
Well, I appreciate that very much, and I'm looking forward to being there the month of May and watching this great race come to life again.
Well, I'm looking forward to seeing you, and also I'm looking forward to see our mutual friend Bart Stevens. I know you said that sometimes you got to keep Bart in the line a little bit, and I understand that. You know, Bart and I go a long way back. He's one of my best friends, and so you know, try to keep him in line, because that could be kind of a tricky thing.
Yes, well, I know he's been really great for me, and I've enjoyed him being around. I love it.
Well, we appreciate that. We appreciate you, Johnny. Thank you for being on the show, my friend.
You're welcome. Thank you.
So how cool was that, Landon? We got to have Johnny Rutherford on the show. And I'll tell you a personal story real quick. When I was a kid, I was hoping just to meet one Indianapolis 500 driver, you know, because I listened to the race on the radio with my family in the backyard, and I have so many special memories of listening to the race, listening to Paul Page call the 500, and we made a big day out of it. We would listen to the race on the radio live, and then we'd have a big picnic and a cookout, and then we'd watch the race on tape delay later that evening. And I, as a kid, was like, wouldn't it be cool if I ever got to meet an Indianapolis 500 driver? And now it's so amazing to me, and I this is not bragging, it just means so much to me. We have Johnny Rutherford's phone number that we can call him up and say, you know, hey, can you come on the show and join us? And it means so much to me to be able to call those guys. And like Bobby Unser was like that for me, and Al Unser when they were both with us. And it just really is a special thing, Landon.
Oh, I think I completely agree. It's a very special thing to have and to do and be able to do this. And I think we can consider ourselves extremely lucky and fortunate to be able to do the job that we do, that we're able to contact these people, these legends, and be able to have their conversations onto you as the listener, to be able to experience, you know, what they went through, kind of like what they experienced in their time, and not just at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, but as Mike mentioned earlier, at Michigan, for example, or other racetracks. And it is incredibly lucky to hear some of these things.
Yeah, and I was at that race in 1986, and it poured. I mean, absolutely poured. And Johnny was battling Jose Legarza that day, and it looked like Jose Legarza was actually going to get his first, you know, championship victory that day. But Johnny was just, you know, he was just a savvy veteran, and it was a really windy day, and that, I think, really played into Johnny's hands, because you know, as a veteran, Johnny knew what to expect that whole race, and he pulled off the victory. So a really fun time there to getting the chance to talk to Johnny Rutherford. And we've got some more special guests coming up, and we'll be back in just a few minutes with more Beyond the Bricks.
If you work with your hands, they don't care how you feel. You're sore, you're tired, and if the tool quits on you, you don't get to. That's the American way. And racing in Indianapolis, that's an American original. And so is Quality Supply and Tool. They're selling what works. They supply men and women who build this nation every day, not just on race day. So yeah, engines go wide open once a year, but if you're like us, you're wide open all the time. Next time you need supplies for a job, go to Quality Supply and Tool. Along with racing in Indianapolis, American originals.
Summertime is get back to clean time for Stanley Steamer. We clean it all, tile and grout, carpet, upholstery, area rugs, wood floors, and air ducts. Call today at 1-888-STEEMER, because it's not clean till it's Stanley Steamer clean.
Beyond the Bricks with Jake Query and Mike Thompson, brought to you by Quality Supply and Tool. Think outside the box. Store on 93.5 and 107.5 The Fan.
From Riverside to Elkhart Lake, from Atlanta to Indy, all around the championship car circuit, the Pennzoil Chaparral has been a standout. Here's driver Johnny Rutherford.
Driving the Chaparral for the past 2 years has made a Pennzoil believer out of me. A win at Indy, a national championship, and thousands of race miles without an oil-related problem. Protection and Pennzoil. Get them together in your car.
Pennzoil Motor Oil. Ask for it.
Mike Thompson and Landon Coons here on Beyond the Bricks inside the Hensley Legal Group Race Command Center. It happens, hire Hensley. And of course, you just heard a 1981 commercial of the great Johnny Rutherford. We are very proud to have him join us in the first segment tonight of Beyond the Bricks. If you happen to miss that, the guy who can help you with that joins me tonight, Landon Coons. He's the guy who puts up the podcast of Beyond the Bricks. So, Landon, how long will it take us to have the show up at the end of the night tonight?
So this podcast will go up at 9 o'clock tonight, or maybe just a little bit after 9 o'clock. You know, maybe 9:01, maybe 9:02, but it'll be out as close to as 9 o'clock as it could be.
And Landon, we're happy to bring in our second guest tonight, Mike Provenzale from Heritage Auctions. Mike, thanks for joining us tonight on Beyond the Bricks.
Thanks for having me. Glad to be here.
Mike, I really want to first talk to you about, in our last segment, we talked to Johnny Rutherford a little bit about his involvement with the auto racing sports showcase auction that you are doing at Heritage Auctions in June. First of all, how did you get involved with Johnny being involved with your team?
Well, it's one of the great parts of my job here at Heritage is you happen to run across athletic legends like Johnny. We had a mutual contact who mentioned to me that Johnny was thinking about selling his collection, wanted an appraisal, and we're the best in the world at that. And of course, Johnny's local for us. Our home office is in Dallas, Texas. So we got together. Of course, he has an incredible collection with, you know, his long and impressive career. So it was a natural for us to work together, and we are beyond thrilled to be representing Johnny and presenting his collection to the collecting public.
One thing you just mentioned, I think, doesn't get enough, you know, spotlight on it, which is the fact that Johnny lives in the same city that Heritage Auctions is in Dallas, because you don't want these priceless treasures having to be shipped all over the place, right?
That's a great point, you know, especially because he has such an impressive trophy case, and that's one of the hardest things to handle. I will say proudly, we have the best shipping department in the world, so I have no worries about once the winning bidders have them shipped out to them. But yeah, those are difficult and fragile things, so that made it easy. We had a truck that brought them, you know, it was less than 30 minutes to, from his place to our home office, so that certainly made it easy. I will say at Johnny's house, he had a really impressive trophy case designed and put in his house where he had it all on display. And that is not always the case for these top tier athletes. You know, sometimes it's just in the garage or just a few things out. But it was really a sight to see. And we're glad that the racing fans and the Rutherford fans are going to get a chance to own a piece of that greatness.
One of the things I want to talk to you about is Heritage Auctions. A few years ago, you started really you know, dipping your toe in the waters of the auto racing collectibles. You're known worldwide for the amazing work you do in sports memorabilia, a lot of it being, you know, autographed baseballs, you know, baseball memorabilia, you know, Heartland statues, all, you know, everything under the sun from a sports memorabilia standpoint. But you really got involved a few years ago with an auction I actually did some work with you guys on with Tony Geese, with my late friend, Dr. Harlan Hunter's collection. Was that really kind of where you saw, you know, how dedicated the auto racing collectors are?
Yeah, I worked pretty hard on Dr. Hunter's collection as well. That was really incredible material. For us at Heritage, we're the world's biggest sports auction house. And of course, you know, for sports collectors, the biggest markets are baseball and basketball and football. But there's a lot of very passionate collectors in all sorts of other sports. And we're always looking to bring them into the fold. And, you know, for us, the number one tenet is to give collectors as much information as possible and give them an opportunity to own the best pieces that exist in whatever they're interested in. So be it baseball or racing or wrestling, we're always on the lookout for the top items to bring to collectors. And we've really made a concerted effort, like you said, to expand our expertise and our reach and what we offer into some of these other sports that aren't the biggest ones in the industry, but are still important and still have incredible history behind them. That's what's exciting about auto racing, is it has such a long history. You know, you're talking about over a century, and some of those pieces are incredibly rare and coveted. So it's something we were really excited to dive into. Dr. Hunter's collection was a big step for us. That's one of the finest racing collections that's ever been put together. And we were honored to offer that at auction. It did very well. And most importantly for us, we got to meet a lot of people in the racing collection, both that are buyers and sellers and collectors. So that was a big moment for us. And we've been building on that. And we're looking at this next auction as the next jumping off point.
One of the things I think is interesting about this auction that you have coming up in June is it's not just Johnny's stuff that's going to be up for sale. You have some really interesting things from Janet Guthrie, obviously the first female driver in the Indianapolis 500, a true racing pioneer, drove in the Daytona 500, was an outstanding sports car driver. You have some important items of Janet's career. You have some, you know, championship rings. You've got a pennant from the 1911 Indianapolis 500. It's just a beautiful pennant. So you have really an interesting cross section of other items that, you know, above and beyond what you have, the amazing items you have for Johnny Rutherford's collection.
Yeah, Johnny's collection is the cornerstone, no doubt. And when we were first talking to him, we were planning to have a dedicated racing-only auction, which we hadn't done since Dr. Hunter's collection. And we used the fact of how important Johnny is and how incredible his collection is to get in touch with some other collectors. And Janet Guthrie's is really impressive. You know, she was a pioneer and one that's underrepresented in the sports conversation and in the market. So we've got some great pieces from her, race worn pieces and some awards as well. We also have the collection of Eddie Gossage, who was the president of TMS forever, and it's consigned by his widow. So there's some incredible pieces. Anybody that knows Eddie knows he was a collector, very passionate collector, and a lot of the material he got directly from the drivers and from events at the Texas Motor Speedway. And then we've had a great group of other consigners that have given us a wonderful variety of items. That 1911 pennant you mentioned is one of my favorites, but there's some great awards. There's artwork, there's programs, there's tickets, there's pit passes. So that's what we try to do when we put together an auction. The racing collecting community is large. And, you know, so you want to have a broad variety of items that appeal to everyone. And I'll say, you know, not just the type of items, but the value levels. You know, there's only a small group of people that can hope to bid on Johnny Rutherford's BorgWarner and Indy 500 trophies. I am not in that group that can afford such a thing either. So we have stuff for everyday collectors who want to dip their toes in, or experienced collectors, and whatever level they collect at, we're hoping we have something for them.
Yeah, that's one of the things we talked about with Johnny in the last segment. There really is something for everybody in this auction. I mean, there's all these different price points because, as you said, you know, some of these items that from Johnny's victories in the Indianapolis 500 are going to go for a lot of money. But there's also more entry level items and interesting items that I think basically anybody can bid on. And there really is something for everybody in this auction.
Yeah, and we've been very lucky to handle a lot of luminary athletes' collections, and Johnny's right there among them. You know, we've done Brooks Robinson and Lou Gehrig, and we just did Tom Seaver and Mike Bossy. So what's fun about that is, A, getting to know the athlete if they're still alive, and Johnny is amazing. So many stories and really a great wit. He's fun to talk to, as I'm sure you saw. And when you get to dive into their collection, it's the story of their life. And there's huge moments. You know, we have items from some of his famous crashes as well, which, of course, were dark days, but a really interesting history. But when you're offering an athlete's whole collection, there is going to be a range of item types and values. You know, not everything that someone owns is five figures or six figure items. There's things in their collections that everyday collectors can afford. So that's a great opportunity for the collecting community when you're offering luminaries collection like Johnny's, is there is a little bit for everyone, no matter what level you collect at.
One of the things I wanted to talk to you about is there's so many race worn items in this auction. How important has photo matching become to you know, what you guys do at Heritage Auctions? Because I just know that I get at the memorabilia show, which is coming up later this week, I know that I get all the time asked for, hey, do you have a photo of this driver with this car because I have this helmet or this suit? So really, how, for Heritage Auctions, how important has photo matching become over the last few years?
Photo matching has become huge. It's a great form of authentication because it's not just an expert saying, in my opinion, this is good, but it's something where even a layman can take a look at the race suit and the image of the driver wearing it, compare those distinctive marks and say, yes, this is the same suit. And really important in auto racing because often they have multiple suits prepared. They look almost identical. So it's those little differences that you pinpoint that can really be the difference between firm authentication. And industry-wide for sports collectors, it's become such a big part. You know, 2 years ago when we sold the Babe Ruth called shot jersey for $24 million, which is the record for a sports item, the photo matching was key to that number and that event, being able to tie it to that. And we're doing the same thing with this race auction. You know, when the stuff comes from Johnny and, you know, the provenance is great and we know it was at that race, but we want to add that extra level for collectors. So we're working very hard, even right now, to photo match a lot of the race worn stuff in this auction.
I know one of the things that's also important to you is the authentication of autographs. And you guys are very, very strict. You don't put out anything for sale unless it's been authenticated, which I think is a great thing that Heritage Auctions does.
Yeah, the most valuable thing that Heritage has is our reputation. And it's one of the great parts about working here. There's no gray for us. If we think something's 99% authentic, it's still not good enough. And we've turned away things we thought were pretty sure were authentic, because we have to be 100%. And we use the best third-party authentication companies for everything. So it's not us, the seller, telling you it's authentic. It's the best-known and most experienced experts in that field of authentication, whatever it is. So for autographs, we use PSA and Beckett. They come to our offices here in Dallas and view everything in person. So authentication is paramount. We want collectors to be very secure that what they're getting is authentic. And we put a lot of time and effort into that. And as you said, it's paramount for us. If we're not absolutely 100% certain, we won't offer it.
Well, Mike, I appreciate you taking the time to join us to talk about the Auto Racing Sports Showcase auction. Pre-bidding is already underway. The auction closes on June 6th. People, if they want to get involved, they can come on to ha.com and check it all out. And we really appreciate, Mike Provenzale, you taking the time from Heritage Auctions to talk with us tonight about this auction.
I love being on. Thanks for having me.
We thank Mike Provenzale from Heritage Auctions for joining us on Beyond the Bricks tonight. Coming up next, the legend, A.J. Foyt, a new book coming out about him. You'll hear all about it next on Beyond the Bricks.
If you work with your hands, they don't care how you feel. You're sore, you're tired, and if the tool quits on you, you don't get to. That's the American way. And racing in Indianapolis, that's an American original. And so is Quality Supply and Tool. They're selling what works. They supply men and women who build this nation every day, not just on race day. So yeah, engines go wide open once a year, but if you're like us, you're wide open all the time. Next time you need supplies for a job, go to Quality Supply and Tool, along with Racing in Indianapolis, American Originals.
If you've tried diet after diet and nothing seems to stick, you're not alone. TrimRx is a convenient telehealth platform designed to make getting support feel simpler and more realistic. You start with an online assessment. A licensed provider reviews it, and if you're eligible, medication is shipped right to your door. No waiting rooms, no confusion about next steps, and no price increase as your dosage changes. Plus, you get ongoing support along the way. Right now, you can get $120 off your first order. Visit TrimRx.com to see if TrimRx is right for you.
Beyond the Bricks with Jake Query and Mike Thompson, brought to you by Quality Supply and Tool. Think outside the box. Store on 93.5 and 107.5 The Fan.
Nice to have you over here in the States.
The incredible thing is the different concept on ovals.
It's unbelievable.
Some people just can't get it right.
Four champions sharing a winning formula. Haviland Formula 3.
You boys ever seen flat-out corners?
Sounds rather appealing.
But it is if you win.
Complete professionals who rely on the same complete protection you can buy right off the shelf.
I'm wide open all the time.
The only way to do it.
Haviland Formula 3 Motor Oil from Texaco.
Why do you go anti-clockwise?
You're in a foreign country, boy.
Inside the Hensley Legal Group Race Command Center, it happens. Hire Hensley. Mike Thompson back with you again here on Beyond the Bricks. And that was a commercial from 1993. You may recall that commercial was Mario Andretti, Nigel Mansell, A.J. Foyt, and Davey Allison, all in a commercial for Haviland. That was one of my favorite commercials, actually, just because you had some different voices in it. You had a couple of different disciplines, obviously, with NASCAR and IndyCar in the same commercial. And then, of course, you had the fun little interaction about the anti-clockwise, and you're in a foreign country with AJ and Nigel Mansell there at the end. So that's one of my favorite spots. And the reason we're playing that tonight is our third special guest of the night on our special guest night tonight on Beyond the Bricks is author Art Garner. Welcome to the show, Art.
Hi, Mike. Thanks for having me.
All right. Well, we're happy to have you, my friend, and it's good to get a chance to talk to you. Now, for those who may not know, Art is the author behind several critically acclaimed books, Black Noon, followed by his two-volume set that he's done on the great A.J. Foyt. The first one was A.J. Foyt, Survivor, Champion, Legend. Now the second half of his two-volume set is coming out, titled A.J. Foyt Legacy. Now, the book comes out in July, but we're going to let you know in a few minutes how you can become one of the first people to get your hands on it. It's a little special deal that Art and I have to tell you about here in a minute. But Art, before we get into talking about A.J. Foyt, I want to go back and rewind to Black Noon for a minute, because Black Noon to me is just a remarkable book in that the way you were able to take the 1964 Indianapolis 500, which was so tragic in so many ways, you were able to take that and you were able to tell the human story of Eddie Sachs and Dave McDonald. And you really elevated them from being a footnote, a statistic, you know, the grim line in a box score. And you really humanized them for the first time in a book, I thought. Just an absolutely amazing job with Black Noon.
Oh, well, thanks so much, Mike. I really appreciate that. And yeah, I tried to make it a book about their life stories not so much a book about how they died in a crash in Indianapolis. And, you know, when I started looking into both Dave McDonald and Eddie Sachs, their life stories just fascinated me. And so that's where it kind of took me.
One of the things I really liked about the book was, you know, we have on the show, and I know Donald dealt with it with Talk of Gasoline Alley, you'd have people who called into the show and they'd want to talk about Sweet Savage, but all they wanted to talk about was the way Sweet Savage died. All they wanted to talk about with Dave McDonald is, oh, I was at that race and you know, tell me about how Dave McDonald died. And what I thought was brilliant about your book is Dave McDonald was a remarkable race car driver. And I think that got lost on a lot of folks, unfortunately, who didn't really know that much about Davey's background. You really brought that to the forefront to show what a talented driver Dave McDonald was.
Yeah, in fact, you know, I knew very little about Dave McDonald. All I knew when I started looking into it was that he's the guy who caused this big crash in Indianapolis. And the more I looked into it, the more I found out what a great driver he was, how circumstances happened. He wasn't necessarily to blame for that accident. And just what a human being he was. I had a chance to talk to his wife, Sherry, who's since passed away, but was just a wonderful person. And she opened up about their story. And so, you know, that's what I was trying to get across. The story of Dave and Eddie Sachs and their personal background, their personal stories.
What drew you to that story? I mean, what was the catalyst for wanting to write that book? Because obviously, I mean, it was a terrible day, a terrible tragedy. I mean, really, you know, we had also later in that race, we had the Parnelli-Jones pit fire, and it was just one of those days that obviously there are a number of people who went to that race and said, just like in 1958 with the Pat O'Connor situation, when Pat O'Connor lost his life so tragically, they went and saw that cloud of smoke and they said, this isn't for me. So what drew you to that 1964 race to write that brilliant book you did, Black Noon?
You know, I became a race fan really in 1965. I went to my first time at the Speedway. Jimmy Clark wins. I became a huge Jimmy Clark fan. So I was kind of a fan and knowledgeable from 65 on. And I kind of stumbled on something about the 64 race. And, you know, I started reading a little bit about it. And, you know, Bobby Unser was in this crash and Johnny Rutherford was in this crash. And so many, you know, of the top drivers of later day were involved in that accident in some way. It just kind of got me to reading more and more about the 64 race, which was all new to me. And everything, you know, so everything I read and learned was new and just got me more and more interested in the race and trying to tell that story.
So after that, a critically acclaimed book, we talked about Black Noon. Since then, you've come out with a couple more books, and one of them, you got A.J. Foyt. This is a question I actually thought about this the other day, because you and I spent a lot of time at the memorabilia show last year. You signed autographs at my table, actually, but I never asked you this question. How were you able to convince A.J. Foyt to do a two-volume set, your biography?
Well, you know, I had first interviewed AJ for Black Noon. So this is back in 2012 or so, something like that. And I had been told I could have 15 minutes with AJ. And after that, it was up to him, whether he'd cut it short or let it go. You know, it was up to him. And we talked for 90 minutes. He just, you know, it was a good connection, a good interview. And after Black Noon came out, I was kind of interested in doing a biography. I've been reading a couple of biographies. And I thought, well, I'd like to try a biography. I might as well start at the top. Well, you know, why not AJ Foyt? I asked him. And I sent a couple of emails to his people and basically no response. So a few years later, I started writing a book about 1967 in racing, all the things that happened in 1967. And I reached out to interview AJ about that. So I went to Houston, spent a day talking to him, and AJ was all over the place, you know, talking about, you know, not just 1967, but his mom and his dad and just all over the place. And when it was over that evening, And they said, oh, man, we got your emails mixed up. We had your email requesting a biography. We thought that's what you were here for. And, you know, at the time I'm saying, well, you know, that was 4 years ago. That's too much work for me to do now. I don't want to do it. And I came home. And, you know, as it was, the tape recorders were running that whole time. I'm talking to AJ the first time. So I've got a lot of great stuff there. So I get home and my wife goes, how'd it go? And I said, well, you know, now they want me to do the biography. And she goes, well, what did you tell them? I said, I told them, no, it was too much work. And then she said, well, how do you tell AJ Foyt no? And
right.
You know, she's not a race fan. She's not a race fan, but she knows who AJ Foyt is. And when she asked that, I thought about it a little bit and I'm going, well, you know, you got a point there. And so that's how it started. That's when I said, okay, let's do it. I had no idea it was stretching to two volumes. You know, there were a few ground rules. I didn't want to do another as told to book, an autobiography. I didn't want to do just a picture book. I wanted it to be a legitimate. I wanted it to be the definitive biography of A.J. Foyt. I'm amazed at how many people don't know who A.J. Foyt is. Race fans who don't know who A.J. Foyt is. I think that's a shame. You know, people should know him. People should know Mario Andretti. You know, there's a lot of Bobby Unser, all those folks. People should know and remember for years to come. But there was no real biography on A.J. Foyt. So I thought, well, let's do this and let's make it the definitive biography of A.J.
So book one, A.J. Foyt, Survivor, Champion, Legend, takes us up to when he's won his fourth Indianapolis 500. Now, the second half of this set that's coming out, it comes out in July, but we'll tell you people how they can get a sort of an advanced copy of A.J. Foyt Legacy. You pick up in 1978, and I think this is going to be a fascinating period for A.J. Foyt because, you know, people, we know what an incredible champion A.J. Foyt is and has always been. But following 1977, there were some lean years. I mean, he did win the 500, the strange 500-mile race at Pocono, which was his last championship race. But what I think is amazing about A.J. Foyt is, even in the lean years, his stature has never diminished. It's only grown. And is that something that you've noticed about A.J. as you're putting the second book together?
Yeah, in many respects, you're absolutely right, Mike. You know, in 78, it's kind of like he's at a crossroads. A lot of people want him to retire. He's won his fourth Indy 500. Nobody else has done that. But he absolutely loves racing. So he forges ahead. He's, you know, his mom and dad die within 2 years of each other, you know, in the next few years. And that's a big challenge for him. But then he also starts doing some sports car races. He wins the 24 Hours at Daytona. He wins at Sebring. You know, he has a couple of big victories in the years ahead. And you're absolutely right. His stature at least grows in the eyes of many because he does this in different types of vehicles. He wins USAC Stock Car Championships and stock car races. So he does continue to have quite a bit of success in the years ahead and becomes a car owner when he finally does retire. So, you know, in many ways, you know, you think that Volume 1 has four Indy 500 wins, seven championships, you know, so forth and so on. But in many ways, I think Volume 2 is just as good, if not better, than Volume 1. It's, and, you know, some of the folks at Foyt have read it, and that was their reaction, too. That I was concerned that there would be enough for Volume 2, and there is. There's a lot there.
Yeah, I think that's what's going to be fascinating about book two, Art, is that all the different kind of crossroads AJ was at in his career. And I really think that's going to be an interesting read, especially I'm going to be interested to read about, you know, he had that situation where he was going to retire. He didn't retire after 91. He came back and raced in 92. And then in 93, of course, he had that tearful retirement after taking the ceremonial laps where he got out of the car and had that, you know, beautiful, you know, tearful speech with Tom Carnegie after driving that kind of slow lap to say goodbye to the fans at that IMS. So I'm definitely going to be looking forward to reading about that. Now, we're going to give people the opportunity at the memorabilia show in Plainfield, the world's largest racing memorabilia show, you're going to be there signing autographs, and you're going to actually have some copies in advance of volume two. Is that correct?
That's right, Michael. Thanks for mentioning that. Yeah, I'll have a few copies with me at the show. And yeah, if you can't wait till July, come on by and we'll set you up.
So you're going to be signing autographs at the Automobilia Resource Table there on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday of the world's largest racing memorabilia show. I will be there as well. You and I will be kind of catty corner this year. And so I'll be over there bothering you a few times, just so be ready for that, Art.
That sounds good. I'll be bothering you as well.
All right. I appreciate it. Well, Art Garner, thank you so much for being on the show with us tonight on Beyond the Bricks and to talking about your new book, AJ Foyt Legacy. Really looking forward to reading that. And thank you to everyone for joining us tonight on our special Mike and Landon version of Beyond the Bricks.
If you work with your hands, they don't care how you feel. You're sore, you're tired, and if the tool quits on you, you don't get to. That's the American way. And racing in Indianapolis, that's an American original. And so is Quality Supply and Tool. They're selling what works. They supply men and women who build this nation every day, not just on race day. So yeah, engines go wide open once a year, but if you're like us, you're wide open all the time. Next time you need supplies for a job, go to Quality Supply and Tool. Along with racing in Indianapolis, American originals.
Knowing your home or business is safe is what SafeTouch cares about most. And right now you can switch to SafeTouch for free. No hassle, just the best technology, seamless installation, and 24/7 monitoring. Plus, a free smoke detector. Call 888-723-8682 or visit SafeTouch.com. Free switch with signed 60-month agreement. $99 fee with 36-month agreement. Includes panel, translator, and smoke detector only. Certain restrictions apply. Offer ends February 28th. See SafeTouch.com for details. State license DF 2000-2049.